Welcome to Keldabe Talk Radio, the online radio show funded and run by members of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. We're a charity organization spanning the entire globe, attending charity events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll discuss your favorite topics in Star Wars, from the Sith to the Jedi, from the Empire to the Republic. We'll cover it all and everything in between. If you enjoy our show, visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com. And now, from our studios across the world, your hosts.
And welcome back to another episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am Biohazard, your host, and with me, as usual, is Marilla Dunlop from our Wampa Clan in Maine.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We also have Thaxos from our Vetna Day Clan out in Winnipeg.
Hey guys.
Ms. Chloris Lusar from our Washington Clan.
Hey guys.
And Mr. Pinocchio from Veshok down in the Mississippi area.
Hello!
And with us, we actually have a special guest. You might have heard of him. He played Anakin Skywalker in Phantom Menace, Mr. Jake Lloyd.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good. Well, truth be told, last month we sat down with Jake and we recorded an amazing episode, and it all went good until about 3 days later when I realized that we hadn't actually recorded. So, trying to move past that, we're trying it again. So, some of these questions we've already discussed, so hopefully we'll get, you know, more answers, flip-flop, and go back and forth. So, let's just try to get at that. But before we get to that, we have a few points of interest first. The August or Remicade.
That would be me.
That's not my
Thaxos got it for basically bringing the popularity of Mercs to the Winnipeg area, along with some of his fellow clan mates. They have really done a heck of a lot for the club. Last year they raised, what was it, $400-something for Verdica Fund?
About $450, yeah.
$450, so very impressive. And he's also been instrumental in helping out the web team with the wiki, and with he's probably one of the few Mercs that's actually traveled across country boundaries just to go to a convention over and over again. So
see you guys at Dragon Con.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, did you go to Dragon Con last year?
No. But I was doing Celebration 5 last year, so.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. I think most of us were. Except Nikki. And Brian, because Brian was like, I'm going to go to Dragon Con. Then nobody was at Dragon Con.
Yeah, don't have money.
Okay.
Don't have money left over.
So also, the Clone Wars extended trailer came out. You might have seen some Mandalorians in there.
Some awesome,
some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, nice. They had the pre-production Boba Fett helmet that they used for the models of one of the Mando characters, which is actually kind of interesting.
That was really sweet.
Isn't
that
much?
That makes me think that they're going to start doing more Mandos that have customization on their stuff and not so much like the Death Watch.
Well, if it's anything to go by, Prey Vizsla seems to have a new helmet with some different attachments on it now, so.
Yeah, he has, like, different ears and stuff.
Yeah, he's got some weird communication-type antennas going off both ears.
And yeah, the cheeks around his visor are, like, twice the thickness.
Yeah.
If you notice that.
So, that's pretty interesting. If you want to see that, you can always check it out on our website, MandalorianMercs.com. And on to our second interview with Jake. So, welcome, Jake. We're really happy to have you with us again.
Yeah, no problem. I really enjoyed my time with you guys last time.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun jokes. Technical difficulties abound, but... So, I guess we will start from the beginning again. And stop that again.
So, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, or where are we talking?
Well, let's start about 12 years ago.
Okay.
Actually, 13 years ago, because obviously it took some time to actually make the movie.
Well, actually 14. If you want to go with when I started auditioning, that would be 16 years ago.
Okay. When did you start auditioning? That's a good place to start.
Yeah, I was brought in when I was 6 years old, and initially I was told I was too young, too short, too much of everything to get the part. And they brought me in. I don't know what I did, but they kept bringing me back in every 6 months or so. I auditioned against 3,000 other kids during that time, and finally it was down to three of us when I was about 7.5 or 8 when we were brought up to the ranch, mm-hmm. which is a phenomenal place. If you ever get the chance to go on one of our visits, we almost destroyed the Death Star. So it was sorry, I'm a little flighty right now, but we were in the archives, and there was the Death Star, and it got hooked onto my dad's clothes, and he almost brought down the original model for the Return of the Jedi Death Star and destroyed it by walking by it.
So, well, is that really his fault or their fault for putting it like right in the middle of the aisle, right?
Well, no, I mean, it's a little bit of everybody's fault, but the next time we went back, it was in a plastic case.
You're talking about a priceless model there. That can be.
If only the Emperor had thought of that, a giant plastic case. It would have been foolproof.
Yes.
Well, you see, perhaps that is why they put all of those collectibles in that vault, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For anybody stepping on them.
Yeah. Yep. So you're auditioning against 3,000 other kids, and it gets down to the last three, and ultimately chose you for the part.
Yeah.
So where did you go from there? Did they have you coming back for like readings over and over again, or did you hop right into production?
Well, it was I think it was a couple months or so. My memory is a little fuzzy on the matter, but I was in South Central LA, and we got a 911 beeper message from my agent, and she told me to call back immediately, and we had to stop in the middle of South Central, which sucked. it was just generally a nerve-wracking experience until we got back to the office, in which case, at which point everything was okay because I learned I got the part. It was a lot of fun to find that out. There were tears, there was joy, there was a little bit of everything. So they asked me if I wanted to spend some time in England, and I said, doing what?
Well, funny you should ask, right?
And I said, so I accepted, and they drew up the contracts, and we had an absolute blast filming it. I can't express just how incredible a blend of reality and fantasy it was to walk onto their set, mm-hmm. or to onto anything that Lucasfilm does, actually, like ranch or set. It's just this strange mix of, is this quite reality or not? Because they do so much to infuse it with their own touch that it seems a little bit more than what most people can handle. So
yeah, right.
It's impressive.
Well, I mean, that's like every kid's dream is to, I want to be in Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
at that point in time, how much of it was green screen? You know, like how much of the acting did you have to depend on just, you know, he told you, this is what is going on, now make it look like that's happening.
Yeah, actually a lot of it, because I mean, I interacted with Jar Jar quite a bit, and I interacted with the C-3PO for a bit, and Watto, and oh god, it was just a silver ball on a pole, and you had the voice actor off screen shouting lines at you, and you're like, okay, cool, are you an angel?
Well, that's probably one thing that was pretty hard, because especially for a younger actor that's just getting into it, it's probably easier for a younger actor to take cues off of other actors and the scenery around them.
Actually, I disagree. It's a mix of both, because feeding off of another actor and thinking about what you say and incorporating their expressions into your own reactions is definitely is a different kind of interaction. Whereas when you're discussing something with literally a ball and a voice outside of your line of sight, it's a little bit, it's just as thoughtful, but for a completely different reason. Mm-hmm. Because you're still reacting to the voice and to a character. And the nice part about it is that you do get to let your imagination run wild when it comes to what exactly is going on, which means that sometimes you probably do a couple more takes because what you're seeing or experiencing may not be exactly what George is. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you get a little bit more freedom and you get to try some different stuff out in the meantime. And it's fun because it feels like you've got a broader sense of where you're, of what direction you're heading in. Mm-hmm. And you get to hone from there. Whereas with other actors, you still get a relatively broad sense, but there's a lot more detail involved, and the detail with inanimate objects gets honed with a little bit more patience than with human beings, because mm-hmm. it's a little bit more natural and fluid. So yeah. It's fun. It's very interesting and cool.
So so. It's like a child, it's like pretend time in many ways. So you can just kind of just go with your own childhood instincts about what you think it would be, right? You just act like that. You know,
well,
it's what's in your
head. Yeah, I mean, I always lock it down with the psychological term of disassociation. That it's not so much that it's pretend. It's not so much that it's not supposed to be fake in any way, because I never view cinema to be a very boisterous acting form at all. You have to rely on subtleties and nuances as opposed to, say, theater, where you have to express it in a very large and dynamic fashion. Mm-hmm. So basically you have to clear the palette every time and attempt it as something completely new and different, allowing for it to be natural and organic each time, which is challenging when it comes to a 12-hour workday and a variety of different scenes that you have to complete and finish each day, because they all require a certain amount of background, and so you have to incorporate that too. It's fun. I had an absolute blast acting and doing these things for Lucasfilm and for Jingle All the Way, and I loved it. But I as soon as Star Wars is out and I finished Madison, I had to go to school. Mm-hmm. So I stopped it, and I since then I've just had a tremendous amount of respect for actors in general. Mm-hmm. So
as far as the sets go, you said you filmed in England. That's probably Elstree, right, with the interior sets?
Yes, most of the interiors, and there was a couple of exteriors on Naboo that were shot in England, but the vast majority of that was done in Italy, and I have to say that Africa sucks. I was not a fan of going there. We went during the hottest 2 weeks of the summer. Oh, it was miserable. We actually fried an egg on R2's head.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Pretty awesome.
You start at like 3 a.m. and then you stop at 11, and the only thing you want to do is just hang out in the pool.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. And one of the things that actually makes that I have to mention, especially with Tor coming out and stuff, I love Lucasfilm, LucasArts, and their general work ethic. Not once does someone on a Lucasfilm or LucasArts production complain about what they're doing. They try to maximize the potential of each and every moment. And it's actually an incredible process to watch these, to watch any of them go at it. And they do an incredible job with minimal fuss. Mm-hmm. So even in Africa at like 160 degrees, like people weren't complaining. They were there to do a job, and they did it to an excellent, excellent caliber. When we were there, there was the first rain in so many months, and it destroyed all the sets, but everyone is out there the very next day rebuilding all of them in minutes flat, sort of thing, and getting right back to work. So it's to be part of a team like that is absolutely incredible, and I have to cherish every moment of it.
As far as your day-to-day acting goes, were there any actors that you worked with that seemed to jump out at you as, I would probably venture to say, like, mentors? Like, did any of the other older actors, you know, sit down and, like, really, like, work with you and, you know, you felt like a connection with them or anything?
Well, I mean, I typically approach as many people as possible as a source of mentorship or as a source of mentoring or, I mean... I got an awful lot from my experiences with Liam. Maybe, I don't know how to recall. I can't so much put into words the acting parts of it, because it's that experience you just try to ingrain and move on. Whereas what I took away from him mainly was just that he's such a sweet and personable guy. And a lot of the things that, you know, get actors' roles, regardless of their talent or actual abilities, is their professionalism and their personalities offset or onset. His demeanor, his care for his craft, those things you take away. And it was absolutely phenomenal to see him and to see him exercise that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And you definitely want to try to take away that lesson that it's, you know, you shouldn't try to quantify your abilities or your talent so much as you should hone whatever it is you do have and make it better each and every time. And that's actually something you see from everybody who worked on that film. Ahmed, Ewan, Natalie, Liam, everybody. You saw it from all of them. And I think that that's a lot of the reason why they get chosen to work on such a high caliber team. You know, Lucasfilm doesn't really want to choose people that they throw away. Mm-hmm. They know they're incorporating them into a saga and into a legacy of actors, into a legacy of hard workers and creative people. They don't want to see them get thrown out afterwards. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you tend to see that across the board with the people they choose to be part of their team, and it's absolutely an honor to be part of that.
So do you have a favorite scene that you shot? Not necessarily, you know, just doesn't have to be like the most extravagant, but just, you know, the one that was probably that stuck out most for you in terms of what you remember.
Oh God, I don't know. I right now, just because I mentioned it earlier, I'd say the last day we shot in Africa.
How many days were you in Africa? Because you probably did a lot of the exterior shots mainly, right?
Like, at least I think like 17 to 18 days. Ooh. Yeah.
That's like half a month, more than half a month.
We get there, and one of the first things someone mentions is, you know, it's Suicide Fortnite, right? And we were like, no, we don't. Could you please explain what Suicide Fortnite is? And they were immediately willing to explain that it was the hottest 2 weeks of the African summer, and we were like, oh, fantastic, we will be sure to stay inside.
Wow.
So
so you finished up the production of the main production of the film, shooting all the shots and all that. Did you come back for reshoots or anything like that after, during the post-production process?
Yeah, and that was kind of uncomfortable because I'd actually grown since then. So it was, we shot, I think, one of the Padawan scenes, like one of the final scenes, where I think I'd grown during that time. Just a couple here and there, and I mean, it was always good to be back in England. Love mm-hmm. it there. So I try to get out there like once every year or so.
Mm-hmm.
So,
were there any scenes or lines or ideas that maybe you brought to the set yourself? Because I know George is pretty famous for working with an actor, and if they have a better idea, that, you know, he tries to incorporate that into the overall design of the movie. Anything like that you might have brought to the character?
Well, there were certain things that I didn't want. Like, I didn't want to say... I think Kitster actually ended up saying it. I didn't want to say wizard. I didn't feel really comfortable with that, but apparently I was okay with yippee, but I don't know, memory's tricky.
Well, yippee isn't all that bad in itself.
No, but it was much better to hear Kitster say wizard. So, yeah. I don't know. I will start saying wizard with all of my friends, and they can retort with, that's so wizard, Annie, and then I can just run off a cliff. that sounds fantastic. No, I know there are situations where that did occur, and yes, you're very correct that George does work with all of his actors and likes to incorporate that ideas, which again speaks for his team and his concept of building one, is that he wants people who are creative to offer up ideas, because mm-hmm. it's a team. And his exercise in such a practice is absolutely top notch. Mm-hmm. And I know there were many instances where the actors offered those sort of things up. I can't recall which, because I can barely remember lines from the movie at this point. I haven't seen the movie in like 10-12 years. I got a little burnt out when it first came out, because all of our family wanted to go see it with us, and I saw the movie like 20 times. And after that, I was like, I'll take a break, thanks. Ask me again when the 3D version comes out and the memories start coming back. But
are you gonna go see it in 3D? You think?
Oh yeah, I would. I'd love to see what they've done to it. I mean, when it comes to film in general, I don't ever say bad things really about movies so much, because I love the work that's put into it, and I think it's an excellent collaborative art form. Mm. But so when it comes on that note, I would particularly like to see the sort of ingenuity that is exercised in such a process, and I would like to see the reaction from, you know, kids mainly. I love meeting kids at, say, conventions and stuff who really enjoy the films, and I'd love to see that their addition to this film was something that was so engaging yet again for people of hopefully all generations, but mainly children, something so engaging that they just had their little worlds rocked and they absolutely love it, and I would absolutely love to see that. And so of course I'd love to go to the film so that I can hopefully meet some kids on the street and get their impressions after watching it for the first time in a few years, and see what it's like for them, because that's actually the end game when you shoot a film, is not so much for yourself but for the people watching it.
It's people, you know, certain quantities of the fan population were, I guess, disappointed in the prequel trilogy as a whole because it had a different tone than the originals did, but at the end of the day, they're all pretty fun to watch. I mean, it's just a good ride. I mean,
yeah,
they're fun.
I mean, the prequels for me, I thought the third prequel was particularly dark, but the tone in general was meant for to bring a different generation into Star Wars. It was meant more for those few and lucky nerds who love Star Wars who actually had children to bring their children into the movies and stuff. So that's my only nerd joke for the night. I promise I'll leave you guys.
You're kind enough to come to the conventions and come on the podcast, and, so you're forgiven.
I can't imagine she's actually real.
One of my friends had a question he wanted me to ask you, and it's kind of funny and embarrassing in a way, but they wanted to know, what was it like hitting on Natalie Portman when you were 9?
Mainly because well, that's where disassociation comes in.
He liked the guys. Okay.
I didn't take it too seriously, though. I mean, yeah, I was 9, so that's about it. I didn't find her. I don't know where you're hoping to get
that.
Huh?
Any other people can claim that they said that to Natalie Portman when they were 9.
Are you an angel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, you know what? That's actually one of the smoother lines I've ever gotten the chance to use. without it being like, did it hurt when you fell from heaven? So looking back on now, I mean, being blunt about it and actually asking, "Are you an angel?" That wasn't so bad. I think that was, yeah, that was okay. That was fine. I'm satisfied with it now. I didn't know where to take it because I haven't given it much thought. But I mean, yeah, that's okay with me. That's fine.
So can we for a special edition where we see the deleted scene that says Anakin asking, "Hey, you want to have sex and get some pizza?" Oh, you don't like pizza?
That's in the webcomic version.
Yeah.
So, this is kind of a serious question. Were there actually any negative experiences that you had while working on the set? I mean, I know that's probably, you know, probably not, but I mean, you know, you have a bad day, was the schedule hectic, that kind of stuff?
No, I mean, like I've said, they are the utmost when it comes to professional people, and I mean, I'd like to say that I am too, and I mean, we were all there to do a job, so anyone's complaints, anyone's stressors, that all has to go away when you are there to do a job, and that goes for everybody. When you've got something that people are relying on you for, you do it. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about working with that particular team, or most of the teams I've worked with in when I was acting, is that they'll look out for you. If you're having a bad day, someone will try to do their best to alleviate the issue. And as long as you don't abuse that fact, you can actually rely on them. And as long as you're willing to let them rely on you, it works out fine. Mm-hmm. And if you do your job, people will respond to that. And they will certainly do their best to alleviate issues. And not to mention, when you're focused on doing your job, those issues just don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And were you going to school at the time you were filming, or did you take a break during that time?
Well, it was shot during summer, so I didn't have to have a set teacher at the time. So yeah, it was that was okay. On all the other projects I did, I had to have a set teacher, which is actually, if I could choose a way of educating people, I would go with the whole set teacher design. But
it's like a one-on-one kind of deal.
Yeah, predominantly one-on-one. I mean, if there are other child actors on the set and stuff, you share it, but still that classroom size is basically taken from being like 30 or 16 to like 3 or 4. And you fly through your coursework. If there's any problems, you have direct access to someone knowledgeable and capable. And it's actually quite the luxury when it comes to being educated, and I appreciated it quite a bit. I loved it. So yeah. Nice. It's like, it's an interesting system, actually. I don't know how much you know about it.
No, a little bit.
Sounds a lot like being homeschooled, except without having to deal with your parents.
Well, every day when you're on set, you have to school for at least 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. But if you can, like, say you're not doing anything that day, you can bank up hours for the next day.
Yeah.
And the next day, and you can bank up, I think, up to like 12 hours. So you can just fly through coursework for like an entire day and then be off school effectively for like a week. Yeah, and you work your ass off, but you get a lot out of it, and then you have a huge break. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
Did you for example, like, study something and then take a test on it the same day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I think I did that with one class in high school. That was because it was over the summer. It was like one of those like 4-day like driver's ed courses.
Yeah.
And you know, the dude didn't really care that much. So he's like, okay, now flip your book over. We're gonna test on this.
Yes. Nice. Yeah, I was doing that with like core science classes. that shit, it's awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I still remember what number that molecule was. Let me do that. Because yeah, you just studied it 3 minutes ago, right?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, that'd be a fun way to do it. Yeah, I agree. The one-on-one stuff is actually really cool.
Yeah,
going into finishing college myself now. So,
oh nice. Yeah. What are you studying?
New media, actually.
Oh, nice. That seems like an appropriate job.
Yeah. Internet, web design, graphic design, video. Basically everything, a little bit.
Nice.
And sociology, which is actually pretty interesting.
Oh, I love sociology.
People do strange stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I talk on Mark's podcast now.
Ouch.
Oh, come on. That's it. We're all a little mad here.
So, obviously George Lucas was probably the power player on set, right? He was the one that everybody was focusing on and listening to pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a balance because you've got George and Rick.
Rick McCallum. He's produced like every George Lucas film ever.
It's both of those guys are forces to be reckoned with, and they are fantastic. Rick actually, I think he had a badge. Everyone had badges. One of his badges, and I think my mom adopted this too on the movie she produced afterwards. he would just put in a different card whether or not he was having a good day or bad day, and you could kind of see in the hallways if there, it was a little crowded, like if the wrong badge was out, people would just kind of hug the walls. And he was kind of like Moses parting the water. He'd just like walk down the hallway and everyone would be like, "Hey, Rick," and just a bit. And shit would get done that day.
That's awesome.
So you finished the movie and it's premiered and everything. What about life after The Phantom Menace? How have you come so far after that?
Well, I did another movie, Madison, mm-hmm. which I wasn't. It was okay. I got to work with a couple of really cool people. But after that, I just wanted to go to school. So, that's basically been what I've been doing.
What are you studying? Time.
Well, I'm going to study directing and editing. I particularly love editing. I love the pre- and post-production aspects of film. So far, I have yet to thoroughly enjoy actually being on set as a director, but I do love the ideas, and I do love pulling them together at the end. Mm-hmm. I am making a music video right now with an old friend to just put on our reels and hopefully get her an album. Mallory Lowe, she's fantastic. She's very talented. She sings this, the song we're doing is this very jazzy blues kind of song, but she's like a 5'2" Asian girl. And it's absolutely awesome. Like the reveal we've got for it is really cool. So it's very cool. I have some plans that I aren't finalized right now, so I can't really discuss them. But I hope to make an announcement in the next month or so for it. It should be a lot of fun. I'm very, very excited about it, and I will let Sean know later on.
Yeah, whatever you come up with, we'll put a link up for it on our website and get you some.
Fantastic! I promise it will make Star Wars fans very happy.
Oh, wow! I'm excited. That's funny.
So, it will make me very happy, and the Star Wars fan in me is happy about it. So I assume or hope that other Star Wars fans will be happy. So, although can be a finicky lot, so I am not so sure.
Yeah, you've met us at conventions, haven't you?
yes, I have. And honestly, the vast majority of people I've met at conventions have been exceptionally positive and very nice to me, and that's mainly why I keep going to them. And you just get the strays every now and again, just like everybody else in the world, that come up and they're just a jerk, and you look at them and you're like, really? Come on. Come on. You really paid like $25 for admission to come in here and poke fun at me? I mean,
where are your priorities at?
Exactly. It's just like, are you serious? Whatever. Have a nice day.
Here's a good question for you. What's the strangest experience that you've had at a convention? That you can think of just off the top of your head.
Oh, there's been a lot, man. there are way too many to actually recount, and far too many of them I don't really feel comfortable talking about on the podcast. mainly because I don't want repeat instances of these things. You have a quick word for everybody in costume. You guys wear like armor and stuff, so this is okay. But cod pieces, they're okay. When you come up and I'm sitting at a low cut table and you're standing there, hands on hips, showing me what exactly you're going to do with your loved one later, that's not something I want to see. Not at all. And I don't know what she ends with there, because I'm just, you know, I'm a very generous guy. And I just, whatever. I think it's, I it's really uncomfortable. And I can't believe I just said that. I thought it was funny. Whatever.
No, I'm people at conventions can be a really amazing crowd, but they are also very strange sometimes.
Very strange.
Yes.
I mean, it really depends on the crowd you go to, too. I mean, like C5, any of the celebration conventions, which we're going to have one next year, just so you know,
yeah.
They're generally, I think, a little bit more upscale because, you know, you have people putting thousands of dollars into traveling and staying in the hotels. But local conventions can get a little strange.
Yeah. Don't have any anime people. Sorry.
Yeah, anime cons are the weirdest, though, aren't they? Like,
join the Waddle line.
You don't have a Waddle line at Celebration 6. You just don't. We encountered this at our last convention up here, FortCon. We're sitting at the table, and all of a sudden, a line of like 50 people comes in. They're all, you know, they have their hands outstretched in front of them, you know, on the person in front of their shoulders. And they're waddling just back and forth like penguins. And they're just like, waddle line, for like 10 minutes circling this room. And it was just the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Fair enough.
That's
something I have yet to see. I hadn't even heard of the waddle line. I am going to have to do one.
It must be a meme.
How about this? We will bring the waddle line to C6.
Yes.
A waddle line of Mando.
Yes,
we'll get Jake Lee to set it up for us.
You know what else was pretty strange? Seeing Steve Sansweet marry people at C5.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That was uncomfortable. I mean, I can think of better ways to bless your union. Star Wars. I have no problem with the guys of Star Wars. So much as well, I don't think Steve Sansweet's ordained. So you might have to go elsewhere. I'm sorry, but
it's just like Life Day. I mean, you celebrate it your own way.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Have you seen the holiday special? I bet you have. You're a film guy. Have you seen the holiday special?
Of Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you're going to have to see
that's
it.
Okay.
From what I've heard,
don't.
Exactly like film guy's wet dream. That's...
At many conventions, they'll lock you in a room and turn it on. You have to pay money for charity to get out.
Yeah. It was like a TV variety show they made about Star Wars, and it had all of the cast and everything, but it was just so poorly done that it ended up...
Arthur, for God's sake.
Yeah. I forced Muriel to sit down and watch it one time when it came up.
No. Gosh. Okay, we're moving on.
Yeah, I mean, there's Arthur singing in the cantina, and Life Day, which has Wookiees in red robes, and Princess
Shelf feeling stormtroopers.
He sings the Star Wars song, you know, the da 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 kind of song. Yeah, it's made of weird, and if you're you would enjoy it being a film guy.
Made of weird.
Fair enough.
It's made of weird. That's the easiest way I can say it.
The only good part is the Boba Fett introduction. That little 10-minute cartoon.
Oh yeah, that was that saved it for me.
Yeah, you guys are all Mandalorians. I don't respect that opinion whatsoever. That's incredibly biased.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
So to kind of go back to my really awkward question from last time, I'm going to ask you again in more certain terms.
Do it.
What do you think of the costuming crowd? Mercs, 501st, what your experiences, good, bad? What do you think of their efforts?
Well, it varies on the brigade and legion and stuff. The vast majority of the costumers, especially Lucasfilm related and those charity organizations, I personally applaud everything they do. I think that the fact that they enjoy these films that much is A, awesome to be a part of, and the fact that they're willing to spend their free time and dedicate so much of their free time to raising money for various organizations is actually something I wish there was just more of in the world. So I have no problem with it whatsoever, and I think they're fantastic. I have had very few bad experiences with them. The only thing I don't particularly like is like being is like when costume groups come up to me and they want to go out and have drinks, because I don't drink. So I don't really party or anything like that. Like, I usually try to stop by and say hi to everybody. But at the same time, like at a convention or something, it's an exhausting day. And I alcohol does not fuel my power cells, so I just need to go home and rest so that, yeah, I can get out there and be halfway decent to people who are nice enough to stop by. Yeah. So
I bet you enjoy your hotel room more than we do, though.
Well, there aren't like six guys who are sweaty in costume stripping.
Yeah, I mean, like what we do is we usually, you know, you take your sweaty, you know, flight suit, you spray it with Febreze, and you hang it in front of the air conditioner. So then you have, yeah, like, you know, six man worth of funk just circulating the room. Really, and then of course, you know, everybody tries to pull out their projects and work on stuff inside the hotel room. So you're having to step over screws and armor pieces and tripping on boots. And then somebody ends up using your soap in the bathroom. I mean, it's like, it's really, it's fun.
Oh, come on, it's enough.
It changed when I got married, though, which is nice.
Oh yeah, that's got to be convenient.
Yeah.
So you
she makes me pick up stuff. So.
Oh.
Make your own sandwiches.
Sandwich.
So, any more news we need to go over? Any more questions you might have for Jake, guys?
Out of curiosity, I know you say you're a real big fan of the costume groups. Do you think you'd ever consider doing a costume, or?
I think I'm way too short to look anywhere near as cool in one of those costumes.
Sean's pretty short.
What?
Ooh.
I'm not that short.
Did Sean show you his Republic Commando costume?
No. I am awful at checking like other people's Facebook pages and stuff. I'm lucky to check the fan page every now and again.
Well, yeah. Sean's Republic Commando looks really awesome, and then he takes his helmet off, and his head is like half the size of the head.
That's an issue of me not being fat enough, not an issue of me not being tall enough.
Well, it's just funny because, I mean, as soon as you take the helmet off, it just your body looks like
it's just like a stick inside of, like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Like, do you remember that old show? Like, it had like. This is going to sound really awful, and I apologize, but the old show where it had, like, the worm in, like, a spacesuit.
Oh, Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, Earthworm Jim. Yes. It's kind of like that. Like, Sean takes the helmet off, and it's just, like, skinny head, and then big body. But that's nothing bad on Sean. Sean looks good in his RNC, so.
Let's get official.
Yeah, I got to make a couple changes.
Did you go official?
No, Rebel Legion, yeah. I got to make a couple of minor changes for 501st still. I just haven't gone around to it, that's all.
Oh, can't blame you for that. You've been going to hey, Sean, for conventions, I mean, gosh.
Well, I still ended up helping out with the 501st over in Calgary, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't worry, Jake. You're more than welcome to come and join us anytime you want, because you can really make a costume work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and Sean will be willing to fly out and help you every weekend.
that's totally cool, but I think I'd leave it to the professionals.
Well, it's not for me.
I think anybody should really start as professionals.
No, you learn as you go.
My first armor was awful.
Everybody.
Not many people's first armor. Mine.
I think Steven takes the cake, though.
Shut up.
Sorry, Steven.
That never happened.
Apparently, when he showed up to the
table. No, don't say it. I'm not going to let you say it.
His back.
I'm not going to let you say it. Nope. He's going to keep talking.
I'm going to mute you.
Mine is disgustingly bad.
His backplate, right in the middle of it, it still had the Tupperware logo on it. But no, dude, your first armor looked a ton better than mine did. Mine was just like duct tape to my chest. Comfy. And then in my official member pictures, I didn't even have boots on, just had white socks under
black. I remember those pictures.
It's like I was in like Michael Jackson mode.
Wait, that was you?
That was me, yeah. I had this awesome, you know, first starter kit and then, you know, no boots on because I forgot to put them on, apparently. that was so strange.
How times have changed.
It's a fun time costuming.
Yeah, and you meet fun people.
Well, the charity is the best part by far.
And yeah, definitely. And, you know, we have our Vridika fund that we donate money and everything to, and it's always fun. So, well, I guess if nobody else has any further questions or news or anything, I guess we'll wrap it up for this week or this month.
I had a question. Switch it to weekly if you want.
Forget.
Yeah, go ahead, Murrow.
I forgot it.
I just said that. Nice.
Give him a second.
No.
Here we go.
No, keep talking.
So, actually, okay. I understand, Jake, that you're good friends with Sean, and you do a lot of gaming. You play a lot of online games and stuff now?
Yeah. Yeah, I play a lot of them. I spend a lot of time. Actually, I keep getting Skype messages in the background with a couple of these guys asking me for recommendations on their builds in League of Legends. I play with fans as often as I can. I haven't been very good about it this week, and I promise I can explain later. But I video game. I game all the time. So,
what's your favorite game right now?
Right now, I am. I don't know. At the moment,
that's always a fun one.
Yeah, Magic is solid. I am so god awful at that game. That's like, there's not too many games that I'm really bad at, but man, that game just makes me feel stupid every time I play it. Like, I'll play with Sean and we'll go into a new area, and then he'll just let me walk ahead and he'll use me as a meat shield because apparently I'm so worthless that I can't even cast my own goddamn spells. He will just let people fire on me so he can clear the way afterwards. Like, he will get to a place and he'll be like, oh, you have to use haste here. He'll use haste and just leave me behind. Like, every single time we enter an area, he'll just... like haste and fly off, and I'll be like, where the I always feel like some decrepit fat kid like trying to chase after Sean in a game that really is a joke, and yet I'm taking it so seriously and feeling so god awful about like being awful at this game, and Sean's just like, you know, scurrying off and doing all the quests and stuff. It's a little ridiculous. So I typically stay with FPS. Yeah, that's how I'm gonna round that off.
The gameplay. It's up to four people co-op, and you can cast a whole bunch of different spells, and they have opposites that'll cancel each other out. And you know, the thing is, player versus player damage is on, so you can kill your friends, you can blow them up, you can, you know, strike them with lightning, you can revive them a split second after, you know, you can toss them in the water and they drown, and then you revive them right back up again, push them right back into the water. It's a hilarious.
So Jake, remember this, and you can do this to Sean next time he does that to you.
See, but here's the critical error in your thought there. I had one spell that I could mess Sean up. One spell. And I accidentally typed it into the team chat. And so now Sean knows it, and I'm screwed. I have nothing to use against him. It was the only spell I had that would just mess him up, because otherwise he just, you know, f***ed me all the time. And, like, that was it. He just completely... and push it and revive. He'd like cast grease and light it on fire and then just revive me in the fire over and over and over again.
I'm sensing some pent up feelings here.
No, this is just how I talk about video games.
Oh, it's a ton of fun though.
Rage quit.
Yeah. No, never would I rage quit. Never. I haven't done that to Sean. I'll stick to games like Call of Duty, which I did actually play second in a tournament a little while ago. So I'm very proud of that. I am particularly good at FPS. I am okay. I'm definitely good at RPGs and MMOs and stuff.
Looking forward to Tor at all?
Oh, very much so. Yes, I. Not so
You're
much.
You're gonna be able to Sith, because, aren't you?
No. I actually just started up a guild. Anyone's welcome to join. It's called the Pumpkin Pact. We're trying to come up with names for like 2 weeks, and I was like, "Oh, the Pumpkin Pact, yeah." We're on the Republic side, so if you want to have an alt or whatever and just join the guild, please, you're welcome to it. But I'm so excited about Tor. I've got a couple of ideas for it, and I am so excited about that game coming out. And it's not so much that I've been a Star Wars fan since I was like 4 or 5. I dressed up as Darth Vader. I dressed up as Darth Vader before the re-release, and everyone just looked at me and said, "Oh, that's a cool samurai costume."
irony.
Yeah, it was like, and I was like, yeah, and so, you know, I got frustrated and it filled me with hate and anger, and I just fell closer to the dark side.
Oh, that was the greatest line.
Nice. And, have you
pre-ordered? Yoda tried to tell you. He's like, fear leads to anger.
He did, but at the same time, he's a green midget, so I'm going to walk.
And you were all just like, I'm going to just say, oh, cup, spaceship, and go with that, and then that just happened to be right.
Yeah, I was going to say he's like 2 feet, well, like a foot and a half, and honestly, I don't know if they've got Hutball and Tor, but you can't putt and punt anything, so just bring Yoda along and get that thing over into the other side of the goal.
Right, you're dangerous, look at you.
So, yeah, but I've been a huge fan of the Star Wars philosophy. My favorite combination in video games has always been KOTOR. I loved LucasArts and BioWare working together. I cannot express just how awesome Tor is going to be. Like, I think it's going to be, I hope it's going to be the best game ever. I know it's still going to be a hotkey MMO, but at the same time, they've got so many great additions to it, like the companion system and stuff like that, that make it miles ahead of where other MMOs are at, that it's going to be incredible. And I would love to play that with other people. I think it's a fantastic community, and I can't wait to see it come out and go live. I think it's going to be fantastic. So I'm so excited. I played KOTOR, the two KOTOR games, 14 times a piece.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. I love those games. Love them.
I can't get past the first
totally.
Level.
The first level?
Yeah, you're stuck in this like room. I was stuck in there for the whole game. Until I rage quit.
You're like, what the hell is this blonde guy doing here? I don't want to be him.
Exactly. I couldn't open the door. It's like, you know what?
I want to be a robot. Why am I all busted?
Yep.
I mean, by the way, I didn't just sit in the room and play them by myself. Basically, I played them over and over again with other people bringing them in and making them play it. But I've seen those games almost every possibility they allow, and I loved them. I thought they were fantastic. I think that collaboration in video games is phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal. You don't have collaboration powerhouses like that so much in video games that are really that awesome. You know, you don't have, I mean, what, like Gearbox and DICE?
What's your favorite planet in KOTOR 1?
In KOTOR 1?
Yeah.
Kashyyyk is probably the coolest, because it has like some really twisted things that you can do. My least favorite was Manon. I Like I, I didn't like it as much, but Kashyyyk was so much fun. Because I mean, the light and dark side differences were actually very well honed and very interesting. I liked those a lot. You know, Nar Shaddaa is sweet and too. Always loved Nar Shaddaa. And I love the fact that the character build was so drastically different in from 1 to 2. And I really hope that they still allow for those sort of builds in Tor. Mm-hmm. Where you have like a Jedi Knight speed sort of crazy ass DPS guy running around. Like, that would be awesome. Especially in those war zones, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that, to be able to do that against real people would be phenomenal. Like, I don't care if I win or lose in a war zone so much as I got to try that out against someone real. That's awesome. And, you know, I think they would, like, they'd probably go to great lengths to make sure that, like, the Force Lightning would be particularly interesting or effective, or at least be like kind of like KOTOR 2, where you could walk into a room, force push, and then lightning everybody and drop them in 2 hits. Like, that's just cool. And I'd love to see some sort of mechanic like that actually work out in Tor. Those things are phenomenal, and those are the sort of sense of power that you look for in an RPG that you seldom actually get. Like, right. You just don't get to feel that amazingly powerful in RPGs, like walking into a room and two-hitting everybody. I think it's... I'm so excited to see this game launch, and I love it. I think it's absolutely phenomenal.
Are you sure that film is really your destined career?
I like to have a lot of variety in the things I pursue. So
you're very passionate about games.
Yeah,
I can't fault you with that. I mean, games are awesome, so.
Yeah. Well, I took a year and a half off school, had, you know, family issues and stuff like that. So, and ever since film and games have been my life. Since I can remember, I beat Sonic when I was 2. I've been playing these games forever, and they've been the best coping mechanism I can like. If you go to a psychiatrist and you ask them about coping mechanisms and the way to build them and to hone the sort of things that allow you to appreciate your given environment in a healthy and manageable fashion, right? I had a lot of electives in psychology. if you ask them about this sort of thing, they will tell you that the more opportunities you have to hone coping mechanisms, the stronger they become. Likewise, it allows for greater creativity and potential in the individual, because the coping mechanisms allow them to filter out the negative or detrimental influences and allow them to concentrate on that which they perceive to be most beneficial and most true to themselves. Mm-hmm. So video games, when you're sitting there in an FPS or in an RPG and you're mechanizing these outputs into the console, and you're actually shooting for, like, making your character better and getting faster and more precise with all your shooting or your combos with your RPG, you are very much so just enhancing coping mechanisms, which makes you far greater at dealing with things on a different level. So mm-hmm. I think they're incredibly beneficial. So I love them.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Sorry, that was my rant. I apologize.
That's fine.
Man, I have put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, you should have heard some of. We've had cast members on here before that have gone off on some quite similar rants for it, and we just kind of sit there and.
Sitting there and nod.
Yeah, an hour later, he's like, and that's why Pokemon is the greatest ever.
It's like, wouldn't that be you, Ian?
well, lately, yeah. I guess, I know, but. Anyway,
well,
judge it on me. Anybody got any more stuffs?
Has everyone already bought their copy of The Old Republic?
Yes.
Definitely, yeah.
I've reserved mine. I'm going to pay for it at the store when it comes in.
Yeah, I got mine.
Collector's edition right here.
Oh, I went for the cheap one.
Yeah.
I'll admit.
I didn't get one. I'm not going to.
You got to go all out, man.
I can't. I don't know if
it's
I can play
awesome.
It. I'm going to be an idiot. How do I shoot?
You're going to be trapped in that one room?
Dude.
Yes. Man, I will. I just can't play those. I can't play those games. First-person shooter.
Starting
point. You can play Republic Commando.
Yeah, I'll play Republic Commando. I'll do that.
That's always fun.
I'm old and I can do it.
Nice.
Well, thank you, Jake, for joining us again.
Thanks. No problem.
We really enjoy having you on the podcast and everything.
So, all right, cool. Well, take it easy. And
without notice.
Yeah, no problem. I was just gaming. So, no problem at all.
I didn't slaughter you that bad in Magicka.
Yeah, well, oh, yeah, yes, you do.
Well, that's unfortunately all the time we have for this week. So we will see you guys next month. And as always, leave us feedback. You can hear it in the outro. podcast@mercs.firespray.net is our email. Let us know what you'd like to hear, and we'll try to put it on the air for you.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.
Wizard.
Nice.
I'm bringing it back.